Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the house of God on His holy day. While most of the world is going about its own business, there are a few people here and other parts of the world who still recognize and honor God's holy Sabbath day. And I'm very happy and delighted and above all privileged and honored to be a part of that small group that recognizes the sanctity, the holiness, and the binding nature of God's holy Sabbath day. So thank you again for the privilege you've extended to me, the third, fourth maybe time, to be with you to share God's Word, because it is in studying and discussing and reading and reflecting and meditating on God's Word that we grow in grace and in faith. And so I thank God again for being here and for being here on His holy Sabbath day. I was in Uganda for 2 months, from April 24th to about June 22nd, conducting two crusades. And in the second crusade, in a town called Lira, going towards the north of the country, heading towards Sudan. In that crusade, I was very bold in calling people out of Babylon. And I had several radio programs where I spoke and also issued the call for people to come out of churches where God's law is not respected. And there was quite an uproar in the city. It was a small city because of this call. Ministers were upset. They weren't happy. And I got an email from a lady in that town, a Seventh-day Adventist, and she told me that ministers are asking, some of them, is it possible for them to keep Sabbath and Sunday? Now, as strange as that may sound, there is some hope that I see in that request. Their hearts are being touched. They're being convicted by the truth. And sometimes it is difficult to make a complete break from the past. Those of us who have ceased to eat meat, we know it was not easy to go from eating meat to go to eating no meat. There had to be some sort of bridge. And so it could be that these men are asking, is there a bridge we can use to cross over from Sunday observance to Sabbath observance? And the question they're asking, is it possible to keep Sunday and Saturday? So I brought this to your attention to let you know that Sabbath, as God's binding day of worship, God's holy day, is still a matter of great importance to God. And we know from the writings of Ellen White that the Sabbath will be the issue in the last days. And my subject for this morning, how little are little sins, or how big are little sins? The theme for this weekend is back to basics. Back to basics. And I hope by the time the day is over that you and I would have been inspired and touched and charged to go back and to be the kind of people that God would have us to be, regardless of what the world tells us by its practices, by its habits, and by its customs. So how sinful are little sins is our first presentation for this morning. Before we go any further, let us pray and ask God to guide us through His Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the presence of Your people in this house of worship. Lord, as Your Word is discussed and presented, we pray in the name of Jesus that You would grant to the speaker the right words, that You may touch the ears of the hearers and their hearts, that the words communicated might be received into the heart, into the life, and that we may rededicate ourselves to living faithfully to Your Word, and that we may say, as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Hear this prayer, we offer it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. In the book, Early Writings, and I will read a certain portion, Ellen White is talking about a vision that she had. She received this vision on April the 3rd, 1847, in the state of Maine, in the city of Topsham, at the home of a family called the Howlands, I believe. And in this vision, God showed her the tremendous importance of the sanctuary doctrine, and within the context of the sanctuary doctrine, God showed her the importance of the Sabbath. Now, here are Ellen White's words. She says, and this is early writings, pages 32 and 33. This is what the servant of the Lord says. We felt an unusual spirit of prayer. And as we prayed, the Holy Ghost fell upon us. We were very happy. Soon I was lost to earthly things and was wrapped in a vision of God's glory. I saw an angel flying swiftly to me. He quickly carried me from the earth to the holy city. In the city, I saw a temple which I entered. I passed through a door before I came to the first veil. This veil was raised, and I passed into the holy place. Here, I saw the altar of incense, the candlestick with seven lamps, and the table on which was the showbread. After viewing the glory of the holy, or the holy place, Jesus himself enters her experience. Jesus raised the second veil, and I passed into the holy of holies. In the holiest, I saw an ark. On the top of and sides of it was purest gold. On each end of the ark was a lovely cherub with the wings spread out over it. Their faces were turned toward each other, and they looked downward. Between the angels was a golden censer. Above the ark, where the angel stood, was an exceeding bright glory that appeared like a throne where God dwelt. Jesus stood by the ark, and as the saints' prayers came up to him, the incense in the censer would smoke, and he would offer up their prayers with the smoke of the incense to his Father. In the ark was the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of stone which folded together like a book. Jesus opened them, and I saw the Ten Commandments. Now listen to the following words. Jesus opens the table of stone that folded like a book, and she saw the Ten Commandments written on them with the finger of God. On one table were four, and on the other, six. The four on the first table shone brighter than the other six. Now, why are the first four commandments brighter than the other six? Now, this tells us immediately that all of them were bright. All of them shone with a light. But the servant of the Lord in vision, she saw that the first four commandments shone brighter than the next six. But the fourth, the Sabbath commandment, shone above them all. The light on the fourth commandment was brighter than the light on any of the other nine. So we have two distinctions. When Ellen White looked at the Ten Commandments that were open to her view by Jesus Christ himself, she saw all ten shone with the light. She saw that the first four, the commandments that reflect our obedience and our worship and our love and respect for God, were brighter than the six that express our love for our fellow man and woman. But of the ten, the brightest commandment was the fourth commandment. The Holy Sabbath looked glorious. A halo of glory was all around it, which was not around the other nine. Now, let me say, and I need to say tediously and repetitiously, it does not mean the other nine are not important. It does not mean the other nine are not to be kept. But what this means to us in these last days is that this commandment is the key commandment of the ten. It was that way back then, and it is that way today. The Sabbath commandment is the brightest commandment of the ten. Let me carefully introduce the word, the most important commandment of the ten. Why do I say the most important? Well, let us skip from this vision that Ellen White received, April 3rd, 1847, and let us go to the experience of the Israelites in the wilderness. When they came into the wilderness, and they were hungry, and they complained, as they would do for 40 uninterrupted years, God performed a miracle in sending manna from heaven. But the purpose of this miracle is made very clear in Exodus 16, verse 4. The Bible says, when the Israelites complained, verses 2 and 3 of Exodus 16, in verse 4, the Bible says, then said the Lord unto Moses, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. The purpose for the manna miracle was not simply to take care of physical needs. Physical needs have never been the most important thing in the eyes of God. The purpose of the miracle of sending manna was to test the Israelites to see whether or not they would be willing to obey God. And the commandment that God chose to test their loyalty to Him was the fourth commandment. Now, this was on the edge of the wilderness as they began trekking their way towards Canaan. My brothers and my sisters, you and I are in a wilderness today, and we are moving towards Canaan. And we are on the other side of the wilderness. We can see, as Moses saw from the mountaintop, the land of Canaan, our heavenly home. We can see it. We know it is near. We know we are in the absolute last days. And as it was for the Israelites at the beginning of their trek into the wilderness, so it is for us on the edge of the wilderness, the Sabbath commandment, as it was a test for them, is a test for us in these last days. And the servant of the Lord informs us that the Sabbath, and we're all familiar with these words, will be the issue in the last days. Not honor thy father and thy mother, not thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not kill. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now listen to what else Ellen White has to say. She said, and let me reread a certain passage I already read, but the fourth, the Sabbath commandment, shone above them all, for the Sabbath was set apart to be kept in honor of God's holy name. The Sabbath was set apart to be kept in honor of God's holy name. More than any other commandment, the Sabbath exalts the holy name of God. And so Sabbath keeping is more than I am not working between sunset on Friday and sunset on Saturday. The Sabbath is an experience in which we enter with God, recognizing who God is and consequently who we are in this great scheme. And so the Sabbath had this special life. And she went on to say, I saw that the Sabbath commandment was not nailed to the cross. If it was, the other nine commandments were also nailed, and we are at liberty to break them all. But the Sabbath commandment was not nailed to the cross. I saw that God had not changed the Sabbath, for He never changes. What am I trying to tell you this morning as we discuss how sinful are little sins? We as Seventh-day Adventists, we are known for Sabbath observance. Or we are known for preaching Sabbath observance. It is in our name. And Ellen White told the brethren when the church was being organized and they were discussing a name, that it was God's will that they be called Seventh-day Adventists, because that name would be a constant rebuke to the world a constant message when the world would hear Seventh-day Adventist, that in itself represented a message and a rebuke and a constant statement that there remained on this earth a small group of people who faithfully observed God's commandments while overwhelmingly the rest of the world observed a day that God did not require. We are known as the people of the Sabbath, as far as our doctrines go. But do we keep God's Sabbath holy? Is the Sabbath important to us? Now, it is important to us to tell Sunday observers to keep the Sabbath. But do we keep God's holy day holy? When I was in Uganda, let me go back to that experience. I was on a radio program. It was live. People were calling in, and we were discussing the Sabbath, and it was very lively. Some men were calling. They were angry. And one man on the radio said to me, he said, "Pastor Ski, you talk as though the Sabbath is important." When I said, "Yes." He said, "Are you saying that the Sabbath is more important than any of the other commandments?" I said, "Yes." That is precisely what I'm saying. The Sabbath. Now, all 10 are important. All 10 are very important. But the Sabbath commandment is most important. It is singularly the commandment that demonstrates and tests and expresses genuine loyalty to God. We need to understand that the fourth commandment is different from the other 10, the other 9. I'm not saying it is better than, it is different from. And we must understand that. Ellen White says that the law is as sacred as God himself. She says that. The law is as sacred as God himself. So which means the fifth commandment is as sacred as the Sabbath commandment. And the tenth is as sacred as the second. But having established the common sacredness of the 10, I also need to stress that the Sabbath is the most important of the 10. And in our Sabbath observance as Seventh-day Adventists, we must carry the consciousness that this commandment, more than any other, is of absolute importance in the eyes of God. For it is through our attitude to this commandment that God separates those who are truly committed from those who are nominal. And so, very shortly, we shall have a law that requires the observance of Sunday. And we will be forced to choose. And many Adventists, as they do now, will invent some very strange arguments as to why it is not that necessary to keep the Sabbath, in an attempt to escape the legal ramifications of observing the seventh-day Sabbath. But it will be on this point of the Sabbath that God will know. We will see who is truly on the Lord's side. And so I say to you, my brothers and my sisters, we as Seventh-day Adventists need to take a second look at God's Seventh-day Sabbath, the fourth commandment. We need to look at it in two ways. One, we need to remind ourselves of its importance to God, its central role in the whole scheme of salvation, the entire great controversy from the trouble in heaven until the very end of time, the role of the Sabbath. And we also need to look at it with respect to our observance of this holy day. Do we keep the Sabbath holy? Now, let me introduce this for your thinking. If the Sabbath commandment had the brightest light around it, Ellen White saw that. If the Sabbath commandment was the one God used to test the loyalty and the willingness of the Israelites to obey him in the wilderness, and if the Sabbath commandment will be the commandment that will be used by God to test the loyalty of his people in the last days, think of this. If this is true, then how seriously does God view Sabbath breaking? Now, I want you to think. Let me say this differently. The brightest light Ellen White saw on the Ten Commandments was on the Fourth Commandment. She said she saw a halo of glory around the Ten Commandments, around the Fourth Commandment. A halo of glory around the fourth. All ten were shining, but there were two things about the fourth that were different. It had a brighter light, and it had a halo of glory the other nine did not have. Is it possible then, listen to me carefully, I'm asking a question. Is it possible that the worst sin we can commit is Sabbath breaking? And I ask you only to think, why would God put the brightest light on the fourth commandment? If you read the first chapter of Romans, you will discover that Paul, in describing the spiritual condition of the heathen, he attributes or ascribes their condition to one very disturbing fact. And the fact was that they removed their focus from the Creator and placed it on the creature. And as a result of that shift in emphasis, they degenerated or deteriorated into a lifestyle that could simply be called just terrible. In chapter 2, he talks about the sinfulness of the Jews, and in chapter 3, he regards both of them as equally sinful and requiring the justification by faith through Jesus Christ. But in describing the heathen, it is interesting that Paul places the emphasis of their evil on the fact that they took their eyes off the Creator, God, Jesus Christ himself. There is a statement that Ellen White makes, and this just came to me, and so I don't have the precise quotation, but she makes the statement that if the Sabbath had been properly kept, there would not have been one idol worshiper anywhere in the world. And this is a very profound and concussive statement, because it tells us the reason why there's so many unbelievers and so many atheists and so many agnostics may be traced to the fact that God's holy Sabbath day has been disregarded, has been forgotten, has been abandoned, and has been ignored, and all because the devil has launched an almost tireless attack on the commandment that he knows is of greatest importance to God. That is why we said earlier that Ellen White in vision saw that the fourth commandment had the brightest light around it of all the ten commandments. And so Ellen White tells us, if God's Sabbath were properly kept, there would not be one idol worshiper. And I should say, if God's Sabbath were promoted vigorously by his remnant people, perhaps there would be fewer idol worshipers and agnostics and atheists than they currently are today. The Sabbath is without question the most important commandment to God. Prior to the week of creation, there were no days. Are you following me? There were no days. Days were introduced at creation. So I don't know how the Sabbath was observed prior to creation. But Ellen White does say the principle of the law has always been enforced. And the Bible does say it is the letter that kills, the spirit gives life. Talking about God's law. But when he made Adam and Eve, God knew that there had already been sin in the universe. Lucifer had already fallen. And Lucifer's sin was, pride. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will take God's place. This is the height of Sabbath breaking, getting out of one's status of a creature and trying to be the creator. And so God invented days. And he said to Adam and Eve, every 6 day, Stop what you're doing. And observe the Sabbath this way. There were no days before Adam and Eve. So I don't know how the Sabbath was observed in heaven. But when he made Adam and Eve, knowing that there had been a problem in heaven with Lucifer and all his self-exaltation, God said, every 6 days, you stop. And express the principle of the Sabbath in a very practical way. Because I want you to avoid the problem Lucifer had. The Sabbath, as it demonstrated the loyalty of God's people on the edge of the wilderness, as it will demonstrate the loyalty of God's people this end of the rainbow of eternity, the Sabbath has always been God's means of shielding his people from error, from false worship, from idolatry, and from self-exaltation. To break God's Sabbath is to be guilty of a very serious sin. Let me give you an example. The Israelites, perhaps their greatest disgrace in the history of the Israelite nation, was the Babylonian captivity. We know the Babylonians came in 605, in 597, and finally in 586, destroyed Jerusalem, took many captives back to Babylon, leveled the place. And the Israelites were in captivity for 70 long years. They were warned. Jeremiah warned them. In Jeremiah chapter 17, you read from verse 21 to verse 27. Jeremiah warned the inhabitants of Judah. He said, if you don't stop breaking the Sabbath, if you don't stop, in verse 21 he actually says, in those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, Jeremiah 17 verse 21, and bringing in sheaves, and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. He's saying, I saw all of this taking place. And he reprimanded the Israelites for Sabbath breaking. Verse 16. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of wares and sold on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, unto the children of Israel and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath? And verse 18, Jeremiah continuing his rebuke of the Israelites, he said, did not your fathers thus? Now Jeremiah is referring to the fathers of the Israelites, what happened in the wilderness. He said, did not your fathers thus, meaning did not your fathers do the same thing, your forefathers? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city because of Sabbath breaking? He says, and ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Jeremiah said, you keep this up, and this city will pay, meaning the city of Jerusalem. And in verse 23, the Bible says, but they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but hardened or made their hearts, their ears stiff, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. And in verse 27 of Jeremiah 70, the Bible says, but if ye will not hearken unto me, to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. He says, then will I kindle a flame or a fire in the gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched Jeremiah warned Jerusalem, if they kept up with Sabbath breaking, the city would be destroyed. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 52, verses 12 and 13, now in the fifth month, in the tenth day, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard of Babylon, into Jerusalem. And he burned the house of the Lord, the temple, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses of the great men burned he with fire. The prediction of Jeremiah came true when the Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem. And one of the prime reasons was the people of God were engaged in Sabbath breaking. Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, verses 15 through 18, which we read. Nehemiah was warning them when they were released by Cyrus to come back and rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. They began Sabbath breaking again. And Nehemiah had to remind them, didn't your fathers do the same thing and God brought evil upon them? Now, if Jeremiah were alive today, what would he say to us? Haven't you learned from the experience of the Israelites in the wilderness? Haven't you learned from the experience of the Israelites, or the people of God in the city of Jerusalem when the Babylonians came in? Did you not learn from the experience of those who came back from Babylon to rebuild the temple and engage in Sabbath breaking? Did you not learn? Is this what the prophets would say to us today? My burden today is we must, as Seventh-day Adventists, understand that the Sabbath commandment is most important to God and should be to us. And so there's nothing insignificant about breaking God's Sabbath. There's nothing small about not hallowing God's Sabbath day. It is a matter of the greatest importance, because if we do not appreciate and understand the absolute importance of the Sabbath commandment today, when the law is passed requiring its observance with a punishment for death for those who disobey, why would we feel moved to remain faithful to God? If it is of no importance to us today, when we are forced to make a choice, we will choose against the commandment, because right now it is not important to us. And I'm not passing judgment, I am simply making a general statement. Too many people believe when the time of trouble comes, then I'll be strong. If you're not strong now, if I am not strong now, I cannot be strong then. If the Sabbath means very little to me today, when the law is passed, it will mean even less to me. Because when the Sabbath means everything to a believer, that believer has no regard for his or her life when it comes to being faithful to God. Because true Sabbath observance places God in the center of the life of the believer, and there is no room for that person. The Sabbath puts God squarely in the middle of my life and occupies my life so totally there is no room for me. And so I call upon you this morning in the name of the Lord. Let us as Seventh-day Adventists look again at the fourth commandment. It is the brightest of the ten. The servant of God, she saw it. It wasn't simply brighter than the other nine. It had a halo of glory. Early writings, pages 32 and 33. The Sabbath will be the issue in the last days. On this one point, the faithful will be separated from those who draw near to God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. What I'm saying to you and to me, if the Sabbath is not important to you today, if the law is passed tomorrow, it will not be important to you. Because if I can't be faithful in these peaceful times, how can I hope to be faithful when I'm in troublesome times, it does not work like that. The faith we need, the courage we need, the spiritual guts we need to be faithful, we must develop now. I was reading, and I have the book back here in my Bible. I'll probably read a statement for you this afternoon sometime. Ellen White says that the time of trouble that's about to break on the earth is so serious that we need a spiritual experience that has never been seen before. Then she went on to say, most of us are too lazy to get that experience. She uses the word indolent, but it means lazy. Most of us are too lazy to seek the spiritual experience that will carry us through the time of trouble. I was talking to a young lady in Uganda, and she was asking me a lot of questions. And somehow we got on the topic of persecution in the end time. And for the first time in my life, I saw a young person excited about persecution. Not to be persecuted, but the subject fascinated her. She said, we'll be running to the hills? Yes. They'll be looking for us to kill us? Yes. She said, this is Seventh-day Adventist. I never knew that. Can you tell me more? Any books you have? She's about 14 or 15. Absolutely fascinated. And she asked me for all the texts on the Sabbath, texts on the state of the dead, texts on eternal punishment. All these texts she wanted because she wanted to be. And her father told me she came back home and he was so pleasantly shocked. She was in her room reading Revelation, trying to understand what will happen in the last days and the trouble that is about to break upon this world. And you know, Ellen White also says that many, many times the trouble we anticipate is worse than the actual trouble itself. And we know that. You hear that your child is in an accident, and immediately your heart drops from your chest and drops to your feet, and you begin to die. My child is in an accident, and the only thing that happened, the child broke a toenail. And so the trouble was not as bad as you anticipated. But, she said, the time of trouble that's coming is so bad, no one can describe it. No one. Those who observe God's Sabbath faithfully now. And you can almost finish it for me. They will be fitted to go through that time of trouble. I was at a church in Detroit on Wednesday night, and a young lady read a letter from an organization. And the letter was not intended for public disclosure, but somehow someone got a hold of it. And there's a meeting coming up. I must ask the pastor to give me a copy of that letter, and I'll send it to you. There's a meeting coming up somewhere in D.C. to discuss the enacting of a national day of worship. And the meeting is fairly urgent. I need to get a copy of that letter, and I'll get it to you so it can be passed around. Not to alarm you, but just to keep you abreast. There are things happening, my brothers and my sisters, of which we are not aware, and they will break upon us with frightening suddenness. We need to be prepared. And before I sit down, let me say again that God calls upon us to be faithful to His Sabbath day. When I was on the radio in Uganda, this minister called. He said, Pastor Skeet, you sound as though you're worshiping the Sabbath. I said, no. No. I don't worship the Sabbath. I don't worship the Ten Commandments. I worship God. But I obey God. And what God has asked me to do is to obey these Ten Commandments. If the time of trouble started right now, and the law is passed, observe Sunday or be punished, possible loss of life, how many of us would remain faithful to the Sabbath? Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. I just want us to think. How many of us right now, if our lives were at risk, would remain faithful to God's holy Sabbath day? Meaning, remain faithful to God. Let me ask you another question. This time I want you to respond to me. How many of you will say, Lord, You've touched my heart this morning. I want to be faithful to You especially in the area of Sabbath keeping. Let me see your hand. God bless you. Stand, please. God bless you. God bless you. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for your provision. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father, that you know the end from the beginning. Father, you know why the fourth commandment is of such importance to you. But we thank you that you have made it known to us through your servant that there's a light about the fourth commandment brighter than the light that shines on any of the other nine. Father, if this is the case, then breaking that commandment must be of great, great seriousness to you. Lord, it is not enough to be a Seventh-day Adventist in name. We must be in heart. So help us not to worship the Sabbath day, but to express our loyalty to you by keeping this day holy. Not just staying away from work, keeping the day holy. Give us a sense of the importance of this commandment, of this day, and the role it will play in the time of trouble that is soon to break upon us. Father, we confess our sins to you now, and we ask you to forgive us for the way we've treated your Sabbath, for the way we've disgraced it and disrespected it and profaned it, and in so doing disrespected you. We apologize and we ask you to forgive us. Grant us your grace. Grant us your spirit. And Father, let us find joy in observing your holy day. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.